Parshas Mishpatim is full of many different mitzvahs that are all very important, but one of them that we learn about is the mitzvah of Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana Yiraya Kol Zechurcha as Pnei Ha'adon Hashem, that we have an obligation to be Ola Regel in the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Now there's a big discussion that the Achronim discuss. Obviously we know nowadays this mitzvah is not really applicable because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so let's at least talk about it so that we'll know what to do when once again b'mheira v'yameinu it will be applicable. So the Achronim discuss, when we have a mitzvah to be Ola Regel, which is really the way we call it, is the walking to Yerushalayim, is the traveling to Yerushalayim, is that part of the mitzvah itself? Or do we assume that that's just the Hechsher mitzvah, that's the lead up? Obviously you have to be ultimately in the Beis HaMikdash, and the only way to get there is to travel, so obviously you need to do the traveling in order to get there, but maybe it's not really a part of the mitzvah itself. Basically, if you think about it, is it like shaking the lulav? Is the traveling itself like shaking the lulav? Or is it like buying the lulav in order that I'll have a lulav to shake on Sukkos? That's the basic question that many Achronim discuss with regard to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. And they want to bring a proof from the Rambam. When the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, he doesn't only say that the mitzvah is to find oneself in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Rambam gives the whole lead up and he says, Shetzivanu, Livnos Beis HaBechira, we have an obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash, Ve'elav tiyeh ha'halicha v'ha'aliyah l'regel, and to it will be the process of going and bringing ourselves up to the Beis HaMikdash v'ha'kibbutz b'chalashana. So obviously the Rambam is seeming to imply that the mitzvah is not only to find ourselves in that place, but also part of the mitzvah is the build-up and the getting there on its own. Either way, we are all obligated to be there 3 times a year, and as we said, nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so it might not apply. There is a very interesting Gemara in Pesachim, and that Gemara tells us a story about a particular non-Jew. And the Gemara says, every year, even though the Pasuk says, Kol Ara Lo Yochabo, even though we know that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach, even though we know he cannot participate, even a Jewish person who does not have a Bris Milah cannot participate in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, but every year, this non-Jew is tricking everybody. He put a yarmulke on, he put tzitzis on, whatever it was. He shows up in the Beis HaMikdash, offers his Karban Pesach, and he was showing off one time to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, to one of the Amoraim, what a trickster he is, that he was able to fool all the Chachamim and all the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was able to get them to offer his Karban Pesach just like everybody else. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is trying to figure out what plan could he come up with to make sure that this year it's not going to happen again. So what would you have said? Well, this year, when you go to be Ola Regel on Erev Pesach, you should stand there and make sure that every Kohen knows that there's some fraudster who's in the audience, and make sure they take a picture of him, make sure you know this guy isn't let through. So that's not what he came up with. The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra lived out somewhere in the sticks, and the Gemara tells us that he came up with a plan. He tricked the non-Jew and he says, you know what, this year when you go, I want you to tell them that you want a specific part of the Karban Pesach to eat. And he told him to ask for a part of the Karban Pesach that is not allowed to be eaten, and therefore it would be obvious that when he showed up and he insists that the Kohanim give him the part of the Karban Pesach that's not allowed to be eaten, everybody would understand that obviously this person is a fraudster and he's not really supposed to be bringing a Karban Pesach. So that's what happens. He goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he brings his Karban Pesach, and he tells them, well, can you please give me from the part of the Karban Pesach that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra told me to ask for? They said, it can't be, there's no way Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra told you to ask for that. And then they realized that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra set up this trick in order that he should be caught, in order that he shouldn't be able to bring his Karban Pesach. That's the Gemara story. And then the Gemara praises the leadership of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and says, look what a brilliant leader he is, that even though he's not here, Mitzudascha Prusa B'Yerushalayim, you set up a trap in Yerushalayim to make sure that something bad wouldn't happen under your watch. That's what we're told. So Tosus asks the obvious question. Tosus says, I don't understand. Why wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra there himself? Why do you have to set up a whole convoluted system and tell the person to trick the Kohanim and figure out that the Kohanim are really going to catch the trick and catch the lie? That's making a lot of assumptions. Why didn't he just say, when he was there, he should have showed up to Aliyah L'Regel, he should have been there because he also has the obligation to be Ola Regel. Why wasn't he the one who made sure that the Kohanim don't offer the carbon of this non-Jew? So this is a very, very important Tosus, because Tosus gives 3 answers to this question of why Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra happened not to find himself there in the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel. Answer number one is, Shalohayelo Karka be'Eretz Yisrael. Answer number one is, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra did not own any land in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore what? So he didn't own any land. And therefore, so Tosus is of the understanding that if a person does not own land in Eretz Yisrael, even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, if you don't personally own any land, you have no obligation to be Ola Regel. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Ba'alos Chaleiros, when you go up to the Beis HaMikdash, you have nothing to worry about. Lo Yachmanish Etzartzecha. No one's going to steal your house. No one's going to break in while you're away. No one's going to steal your produce or any of your cows, any of your product. So therefore, a fundamental part of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel is that a person should submit himself to God and say, I believe in you, I trust in you, nothing's going to happen to my land. So Tosfos understands that if a person doesn't own land in Eretz Yisrael, then he's precluded from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. That's answer number one, why Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah was not Ola Regel. Answer number two that he gives, he was an older person, and he wasn't able to come, he wasn't able to travel. If a person is not able to travel, then obviously you are anonymous, you are excused from the mitzvah, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah was not there. Answer number three is, Inami, he lived in Nitzivan, and Nitzivan was part of Chutz La'aretz. And therefore what? So Tosfos understands that a person who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael has no obligation to be Ola Regel at all, even when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Obviously, nowadays, there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Aliyah L'Regel. But even in the times when there is a Beis HaMikdash, if there are people living in Chutz La'aretz, they have no obligation to be Ola Regel. And this is a highly questionable assumption. Is that true? Where does the Pasuk say anywhere? Ba'alos Chaleiros, when you go up to the Beis HaMikdash to be Ola Regel, where does it say anywhere that if a person doesn't have a home or doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, who said that you are not obligated to be Ola Regel? This is a major question. And in fact, the Mishnah Lamelech in the first parak in Hilchos Karban Pesach, on the Rambam, the Mishnah Lamelech says he doesn't understand where Tosfos gets this idea. How can you say such a thing? Who said you're not obligated to be Ola Regel just because you don't live in Eretz Yisrael? So there are those who want to prove from the following Gemara. The Gemara tells us, as we know, this is the practice nowadays as well. When do we start saying Mashav HaRuach? We know that the rainy season is right at Sukkot time. So really, we should start saying Mashav HaRuach right away. Why do we wait to say Mashav HaRuach until Zayin Cheshvan? The reason why is because the Gemara tells us in Tainus Daf Yud that we want to wait for the last people who came up to be Ola Regel. We want to wait for them to get home. We don't want them to get caught in the rain on the way home, because then they're going to have a bad taste in their mouth. They're not going to want to come next time. So the Gemara says, because of that, we want to make sure that we don't start asking for the rain until everybody gets home. How long is the maximum amount of time that it could take anybody to get home from Aliyah L'Regel? Says the Gemara, 2 weeks. So what do you see? 2 weeks? What do you mean? What if I flew in from Australia? What if I came on a boat from Africa? What if I came from a place which is much further than 2 weeks away? What you see clearly is that 2 weeks was the maximum amount of time that it took somebody to be Ola Regel, because that's the perimeter of Eretz Yisrael, and the maximum amount of time that it takes to get to any far-fledged community in Eretz Yisrael is only 2 weeks. So you see from the Gemara that somebody who's from Chutz La'aretz probably was not Ola Regel. So it's an interesting proof, not so compelling, because maybe you can say, well, we have to make a gvul. It could take somebody 6 months to get from Australia by boat, so maybe that's just the way they made the cutoff. It's a very problematic Raya, it's a very problematic assumption that Tosfos makes, whether or not somebody from Chutz La'aretz has an obligation to be Ola Regel. And even if you assume that they have no obligation to be Ola Regel, one would still have the problem that the Mishnah Lamelech has, and that is, even if I have no obligation to be Ola Regel, I still have an obligation to bring a Karban Pesach. So still, even if Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah lived in Chutz La'aretz and he didn't have to go up Shalish Bam Bashana, he still has an obligation on Pesach at least to bring his carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. So how can you explain why he wasn't there? In the end of the day, the Mishnah Lamelech writes, Divrei HaTosfos mitchilasam ve'atsofam tzrichim etzli Talmud. Every single word of this Tosfos, every one of his three answers gives major problems, major headaches. And he says, I really don't understand what Tosfos is talking about and why he assumes that somebody who lives in Chutz La'aretz would have no obligation. Let's just close with one final thought, and that is, we find a mitzvah of galus, somebody who has, not galus like we know, galus who's for somebody who's horeg b'shogeg, somebody who unintentionally kills somebody else, unfortunately, has to go to an ir miklat, and there he has to stay in order to save himself from being killed by the goel hadam. So the Chazon Ish has the question, why is it that we find there's a mitzvah to put up signs all over the roads, this way to the ir miklat, to make sure that he knows where to go? Whereas we don't find anywhere that on the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel they put up signs, Yerushalayim this way, Yerushalayim that way. How come it shouldn't be the same thing? If we want to make sure that everybody knows where to go and he doesn't get caught on the way to Ari Miklat, so why don't we make sure that a person doesn't get caught and stuck on the way to Yerushalayim as well? This was the question that the Chazon Ish asked. Explains the Chazon Ish. When you have somebody, unfortunately, who kills Beshogeg and he's running to the Ari Miklat, we don't want him to have to stop and ask people directions. He's going to say, excuse me, where's the Ari Miklat? They're going to say, why do you need the Ari Miklat? He's going to say, well, unfortunately, you know, I killed somebody with Shogeg. Oh, really? How did it happen? And how did he die? And what was the story? You know, how often do we go to a shiva? And people ask all sorts of uncomfortable questions that shouldn't be discussed, that shouldn't be asked. Chazon Ish says the same thing. If you're going to have to stop and ask everybody for directions, they're going to make such a bizayin out of you. They're going to embarrass you so much. He says, that's why we have to make sure to put up signs. On the other hand, when a person goes to Yerushalayim, imagine if he gets lost 100 times on his way, 100 more people know that there's a mitzvah going on right in front of their eyes. What a beautiful thing. You're going to ask 100 people for directions. People are going to say, where are you coming from? He's going to say, oh, I live out in the sticks, all the way in the Golan, all the way here, all the way out in the Negev. They're going to say, wow, look how beautiful the Jewish people are. That they travel all the way, such a big schlep, such a big tircha, they're willing to come all the way to Yerushalayim. And that's why it says the Chazon Ish, we specifically do not put up signs on the way to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel, in order to show how proud we are of the Jewish people that they go so far out of their way. And this is what the Chafetz Chaim said as well. Interestingly enough, he said there was a collector who was collecting for the yeshiva, and he said that he always complained to him, how come it's impossible for me to make money? I go from this town to the next town to the other town. I can never find enough money to support the yeshiva. I have to travel all over the world. And when we have universities and we have other things, we have missionary activity, we have plenty, not that they're the same, but we have plenty of other secular things, and they just make up an appeal, hang up a shingle, hang up a sign, all of a sudden they have millions of dollars coming into them. How can that be? Chafetz Chaim said to him, it's the same thing. Because by them, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want so many people to find out about the missionary activities. So they go to one donor, they get the check, and that's it. End of story. Only one person knows. Chafetz Chaim said, when we're collecting for a yeshiva, we want you to go all over the world. We want everyone to hear that there's a yeshiva, that there's people learning Torah, that there's people who need to be supported. Why not get everybody involved the same way we find that by Aliyah L'Regel, that we want more people to find out as much as possible. Yehi Ratzon. Like we ask and we daven every single day, and we'll have this opportunity once again to have this mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel the way it's supposed to be.